Well, the new year is about to arrive. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Some of you are not saying anything. You know, we love the festivities. And sometimes we go through the festivities not knowing what are we celebrating. We're just having an excuse to eat more, drink more, spend, visit, have fellowship. All of those can be good things, but we don't want to go through the season and not experience some changes. You know, we are, you know, God said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but we're not meant to be the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. We're supposed to be changing from glory to glory. And so, you know, all you've heard here today is, you know, even the bulletin talks about the past. And I think Tracy wanted to preach something on the bulletin, but she won't do it today. Yeah, but we'll hold her to it. But she said something. You know, forgetting what's in the past, you cannot just forget. You first have to repent of the things that were not right in the past. And then you can forget them. Once you repent of them, God forgets, and we need to. Now, we learn lessons out of those things, but we have to move on. And, you know, we have been talking a lot about hearing God. Leading us, you know, we are creatures that when we do things in our own strength, led by our own selves, we usually get in trouble. We're not good on our own. We're not meant to live this life all on our own.
Amen.
And so God is aware of that. He made us with the ability to lead and to guide, but he wants to lead and guide us into the abundant life. You know, we can do what we think is a fair job of leading our lives, but really it won't lead to that abundant life he wants us. We can have a fair life, but he has so much more for us. And it has always been God's desire to talk to you and to me.
Amen.
He talked in the garden. Okay, there you go. He talked in the garden with Adam and Eve before they fell. God had perfect communion with Adam and Eve, and he talked with them and they to him constantly. Then they fell. And God was still talking, even though they were mostly listening because they had messed up royally. So even after they sinned, God talked to them. God talked to Cain. God talked to Enoch. God talked with Abraham. God talked to Moses face to face. And then after he talked to Moses, he desired to speak and talk with the liberated people of Israel when he got them out of Egypt's bondage and led them to Mount Sinai. And in Mount Sinai, he showed up, the cloud and the thunder and the fire and all of that. God wanted to speak, and he did spoke to the people of Israel. And I'm going to read to you. You can read with me in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Moses is recounting all of this with the people of Israel. And so he's quoting what God said. And he says, so it was, this is God speaking to the people of Israel. So it was when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me and all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, And we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he that is man still lives. Now therefore, why should we die? This is the people of Israel responding back to God. For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? And then they tell to Moses, Moses, you go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear it and do it. Wow. God wanted to speak with the Jews, with the people of Israel, personally, directly to them. But they did not want to hear directly from God. They say, Moses, you listen to God, you hear, you tell us, and then we'll hear and we'll do it. But don't let God speak to us directly, because we'll die. God is telling them, no. Now, people in the Old Testament could not be born again like we can today. Man had sinned and became spiritually separated from God. In order to have some kind of temporary relationship with God, people had to follow rituals, sacrifices of animals and sprinkling of blood and all kinds of different things to postpone the punishment for their guilty attitudes. And so they would do these rituals and they would have communion with God. But as soon as man would sin once again, the whole process had to be done again. Over and over and over, and animals were killed, and ceremonies had to be done for us to get right back with God. Well, for those people. And so they had to go process after process because we, or they, or both of us, were constantly failing God in some area. But something very important happened when Jesus died on the cross. In Mark chapter 15, verse 37 and 38 says, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice when he was on the cross, and he breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. God was letting mankind know that the perfect sacrifice was accomplished, and man could once again establish a permanent communication with God without the need of sacrificing any more animals. Amen. The perfect sacrifice of the lamb that was slain was the perfect sacrifice that would do away with all of the sacrificial rituals. Yeah. Because now the perfect blood was spilled for you and I by Jesus himself. And so now when we receive Jesus as our personal Savior, we have access to God. Thank you, Lord. At all times. But let's see about a few men in the book of Acts. Let's consider them for a minute. In Acts chapter 8, there was this guy called Philip. He was called to be an evangelist. And Philip was conducting a great revival in Samaria. This is after Jesus' death, and people were spreading the gospel. And Philip was having a revival in Samaria. And then the Lord, through an angel, told him to leave the revival and go to a road in a desert area. What? I'm in the middle of a revival. I'm sharing Jesus, and Jesus wants me to go to a desert where there's nobody out there? Right. Philip had to make a decision right then and there. I'm going to stay in this revival, or am I going to obey the voice of the Lord and go to a place that I don't know what he wants me to do there? That was Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 9, there's another event. There's this guy, Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee of Pharisees, very strict in the law of Moses. And he was going about and he wanted to capture and probably kill as many Christians as he could, because he thought that those went against the law of Moses. And right in as he's going towards his job, Jesus appears to him and Jesus confronts him. And Jesus tells Saul that he is actually persecuting him. He's persecuting the Lord. And all of a sudden, Saul realizes that God himself is speaking to him. Saul has to make a decision. Shortly thereafter, there's a man praying called Ananias, a Christian, a believer in Jesus. Just as the conversion of Paul happened, he went to a place and he prayed because he was blinded. And the Lord appears to Ananias and asks him to go and pray for Saul. But Ananias knew Saul and he knew he was troubled. He was a bad guy. He was a mean dude and he was not one to be around because he wasn't safe. And so Ananias, knowing that Saul is dangerous, tries to convince the Lord that that is not a good idea for him to go to Saul. But Jesus sticks with the original plan and tells Ananias, "You go, do what I say." Ananias had to make a decision right then and there. Am I going to obey the Lord or am I going to hide? Shortly thereafter, in Acts chapter 10, Peter, he's hungry. He's waiting for lunch. And I guess the fire wasn't hot enough. It was taking longer than usual. So he went up to the second floor of the house where he was. And he started praying. And while he's doing that, he falls in a trance. And the Lord speaks to him. Amen. And the Lord brings a big sheet down with containing all kinds of unclean animals. And tells Peter, grab one of those animals, kill them, and eat them. You're hungry. Peter tells the Lord that he doesn't eat unclean animals. And the Lord responds back to him. In Acts 10:15 says, and a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common or unclean. And so this happens three different times. I mean, one after the other. And Peter responds the same way. The Lord says, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, I never will defile myself with unclean animals. And then the vision disappears. He gets out of the trance. And while Peter is still meditating on this, some Gentiles come looking for Peter to go and go to a Gentile house and minister to some Gentiles. And Peter hears this. And Peter is thinking about all this. What? Me go to a Gentile house? And while he's battling here in his heart, he hears the Spirit of God telling him, go. Don't ask any questions. Just go. Peter had to make a decision. Some of us are hearing God's voice. Yes. And we are being directed to go on his appointed direction. and duties. Others of us, oh, we want so bad to hear God's voice. But we are paying more attention to the voice of the world and cannot discern his voice, even though we want to. What we didn't realize is we're basically saying the same as the Israelites did when they said, we would rather hear Moses than God. In other words, we're saying, those who are spiritual can tell me enough to help me get by. I'll let the preacher do that. Still, others know what God is telling them. But they don't want to hear it. And they are growing harder of hearts and ears. And if they continue in that same mode, they won't be able to hear him at all very soon. You don't want to be in that category. Now, for those of you who want to go on with the Lord, this is for you. God wants you involved in what he is doing in this world.
Amen.
You know, and when I say in this world, that means in your world as well, more specific. When you hear what he speaks to you, you know, whatever response you're going to give will always require faith to answer the right response. You will have to trust him. And sometimes he will ask you things that don't quite make sense. And you will find yourself having to make a decision. You can either accept his call and get involved with God in what only God can do, or you can continue in what you want to do and miss out on what God is doing all over the world and in your world that you're not part of. Philip, the evangelist, could have chosen to stay in Samaria and continue with the revival. But you know, there wouldn't have been a revival in Ethiopia later on. Because history reveals that the eunuch that he found in the desert area, that the Lord told him to go and leave the revival and go and minister to a particular person, that person went to his country, Ethiopia, and he started a great revival that impacted the whole region of Ethiopia. And that wouldn't have happened if Philip would have said, no, I'd rather stay in this evangelistic services that we have here in Samaria. Saul could have said to Jesus, no, not me. I'm going to continue to be a devout Pharisee. But God would have had to choose another willing person to write most of the New Testament and to evangelize many nations around Israel at that time. He said yes. He wrote most of the New Testament. And he evangelized many, many countries beside Israel.
Amen.
Ananias, the one that Jesus told to go pray for Saul. He could have said, no, Jesus, I'm scared of Saul. Send someone else. But he was so devoted to the Lord. He had devoted his life to the Lord and he wasn't backing out. So even though it's scary, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And the Lord blessed him for it. Peter could have told the Holy Spirit, no, I don't go into Gentile homes. I get defiled. And Jesus probably would not have used him with any Gentile then again. Now after this, he ministered to many Gentiles, and he helped the gospel to be preached to all nations, Gentile nations. But had he said, no, I don't go into Gentiles, that would have been hindered. Now back in the Old Testament, Cain heard the Lord. And he made his own decision. He decided to ignore the Lord. And he went ahead and killed his brother. See, God got to him and spoke to him before he committed the sin. And God said, you must fight this. You must fight this desire. You must stay righteous. And he decided to ignore God and went ahead with his will. Moses, when he heard the Lord call him to a ministry at the burning bush, he struggled and fought with the Lord and bargained and pleaded because he felt inadequate. And God said, you're not going on your own power, you're going in my power. And I'll show my wonders through you if you are willing. See, it wasn't Moses' goodness. It was the Lord's goodness working through Moses. Amen. And that's the way he wants to work through you and through me. Right. And so did Gideon, Isaiah, and many other well-known men and women of the Bible. So now it boils down to, where are you headed spiritually in this new year that's coming? Do you want to stay where you are spiritually? Or do you want to grow in the Lord? I was sharing the other day with someone, I forget, with my wife and I were ministers to somebody. And we were talking about our life in the Lord. It's like a river. And you know, the world has a river. And we happen to be in that river of the world many times. And the river of the world will take us to a bad place. The river of God always gets us higher. And as we live in this life, there is no standing still. As we stand still in this world, the current will continue to drive us to a negative place. You have to fight that current to get it. In the river of God to get higher. So don't think that you are fine where you are and you're going to stay there and it's going to be all right. You'll eventually drift just like a log in the river. You'll go downhill. We don't want that. You can choose to stay where you are. The Lord will love you, bless you. The Lord will protect you. And when you die, he will take you to heaven with you, with him. If you have received Jesus as your Savior. Oh, but you were created for so much more. Amen. Than what you are today. Yes. He wants to take you to such great heights. In fact, he said in Jeremiah 29:11, I'm sure you've heard of this. This is God speaking to you. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Right. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Staying stuck is not a future.
That's right.
Staying spiritually where you are for the next 2 or 3 years, that's not a hope that I can submit to. Well, you may say, yes, but I am troubled. I am afraid. Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel appeared to her and told her that God wanted to use her on a mission, she said the same thing. But then she made a decision. She took a leap of faith And she responded, "Here am I, your bond servant. Have your way with me." Amen. She didn't know what she was committing to, but she trusted in the one she was committing to. Because he wanted her future and her hope to be a great one. And it was so, not just for her, but for the whole world. You have gone through this Christmas season, and I'm sure you want to change after this New Year celebration. I ask you, are you going to give God a chance? Are you going to listen to his voice and respond like Mary did? "Lord, I don't know where you're taking me. I don't know how this is going to happen. But I trust you. And here I am, your servant. I submit. Have your way with me." Do it with a sincere heart. And I guarantee you by the word of the Lord that you will never be the same. So as we begin a new year, start separating a particular time of day or night when you spend time with the Lord. Set your clock, if you have any at home. Set your watch or set your phone alarm for that time. I'm asking you to spend 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes. You blow that when you get up thinking, "Am I going to get up and get coffee, or my spouse is going to get it for me?" 5 minutes is not a long time. Ask the Lord to bring a change in you. Yeah. To speak loud enough to you that you can hear him in your heart. Thank you. And while you're at it, get a small notepad, a notebook, and write down what you hear from him. Every day, write it down. At first, you may think, "Well, this was me, not the Lord," but just do it. Just do it. Do this daily for at least a few weeks. But make sure you talk to the Lord. Even if you don't write down anything because you think you didn't hear anything, just talk to him. He is listening. The amazing truth is that the Lord wants to speak to you much more than your desire to hear him. His desire to speak to you is greater than your desire to hear him. And so you give him a little bit and he'll fly with that and he'll talk to you. But you have to give him the time so that he can fine-tune your hearing frequency. Yeah, you know, like a dial in the radio. You know, most of now it's preset. I still got radios that you have to fine tune and find the station so I can hear it clearly. The Lord has to do that in our hearts and in our heads. That's right. So that we can fine tune the frequency properly and we can hear him. It's not that the Lord is not communicating properly. His wavelength is always there. It's just our receiver is not tuned properly.
Thank you, Lord.
Give him time. Pick up your Bible. Read a chapter within those 5 minutes. Chapter of anywhere in the Bible, a psalm, anywhere.
Yes.
And ask yourself after you read that, what is the word of the Lord telling me? And write it down.
Yes.
Do that every day. 5 minutes. It's not going to kill you. But it is God's word for you. See, here is just a logos, a written word. But as you meditate and spend time with the Lord, it will become rhema. It will become alive. A word that is alive, that is able to bring the changes that God wants to do in you so that then you can do the works of God. 2 weeks may but not be enough if you don't believe that God wants to speak to you. You may have to work a little harder. But if you give him a chance, it will bring the change in you that you have always wanted to experience.
Thank you, Lord.
We all want to change, don't we? We want to move forward in this coming year. We don't want to stay stuck. You know, things that get stuck, after a while, they stink. And sometimes spiritually, we do stink, don't we? But we want to be a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. And usually, smelling aromas come from things burning. You know, you have a candle that smells good, the candle has to burn. We have to burn some areas of our lives, sacrifice some areas of our lives, so that the aroma of a sacrificial offering unto the Lord would be a sweet-smelling aroma to him. Think about it this coming year. Father, we don't want to stay the same as we were this past year. We want to go forward in you and in all your plans that you have for us. Open the ears of our hearts that we may hear what you're trying to lead us into. We know that it's going to be glorious because every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you. It is always for our good and for your glory. Help us, Lord, to fulfill your destiny and your planned destiny for each one of us. Help us, Lord, to keep our commitment to you of spending 5 minutes daily talking to you. We know that you're listening, and we know that you are always faithful to respond in some way. And we thank you, Lord, for your love and your faithfulness to us. Lord, as we approach this new year, Father, you say that old things have passed away and new things are showing up. Father, may these new things be from you, and may we devote ourselves to doing your will, that we may enjoy the benefit of knowing that we are being servants to you and that you are using us to transform the world around us. We thank you, Lord. I bless your people. And I pray that this new year would be glorious to each one of them. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. If somebody needs prayer, we will be here. Blessings.